road from my lot to the village of Clonburn lies the townland of Ballyedmond. It is here that I find John Feeney. Now retired for many years, John operated a busy forge which serviced the surrounding communities from near and far. And as he tells me, the Feeneys have a long family history of blacksmithing in the area.
I started learning from my father. He learned from his father. I'm the fifth generation, yeah. I started, sure, I was at it from once I was a kid. But in the 50s, then I would have started shoeing horses. It was near a full-time job that time in the 50s and 60s and into the 70s and shoeing horses. Near full-time, yeah, with all them we used to shoe that time, you know. When I started shoeing horses in the 50s, 12 shillings it was to put on a full set of shoes and a horse. 12 shillings, yeah, that's what it was.
Can I ask you firstly about your grandfather? I think his name was Michael Feeney.
Right, yeah.
He was the master blacksmith for O'Rourke's.
He was, yeah. He was, whatever O'Rourke wanted done, he had to do it for him. And that was all there was about it too. If he was working for any other one, and if one of O'Rourke's men came in, he had to go and do O'Rourke's job. That was it. That was Charlie O'Rourke, Molly's father, yeah.
And that was all in return for the house and the bit of land?
Yes, and he had the forge built in their land. And I think he might have the grazing of a cow or two as well, in it, as far as I know.
Do you know what kind of work that your grandfather would have been doing there?
He would have made an awful lot of gates. That time to be all mortise gates, you know, to be all, there was no welder or nothing like that. It was all done by hand and sledge and the punches and all that kind of stuff. But he was very good to weld iron too or anything like that, you know. They used to make an awful lot of axles for carts, horse carts, ass carts, for traps and side carts and all them kind of things, you know. That was a job in itself. Not too many of the blacksmiths now would be doing that, making axles like.
So Feeney's ended up having a couple of blacksmiths around the local area.
Yeah, well, my grandfather had another brother up the road here, Petey Feeney. He had a forge up the road here, just up about a mile. To be over on your left now as you were coming down. As you were coming down, it was over on your left, he had a forge there. Oh, he was pretty good too, yeah. Peter was his name, Petey Feeney.
Now, some blacksmiths, John, had their very own stamp, and I believe your grandfather had his own too.
He had. But I never saw that stamp. As I was telling you there, it must have gone with Sonny, like, to Kilkerran.
Now, just to point out, Sonny would have been his son.
Yes, he was a brother to Daddy, like. But he was the oldest of the family, and Daddy was the youngest. There was a big difference in their age, like.
He would have brought all of the implements with him to Kilkerran because your forge at the time, there was no one in it.
There was no anvil or anything in the forge when Daddy came home. No. He probably gave them to him, like. That'd be it. £20 of cash for the anvil in the foundry in Galway he bought it when he came home. I don't know what year that would be to be. I suppose to be around 1930, maybe, or that way.
So your father came home from England to set up here in Ballyhead.
He was 5 years in England. He was down pitch shoeing ponies, and that's what he was at, yeah. Very near all the time when he was there, down the coal mine shoeing. They used to have little ponies for pulling up the coal, yeah. They'd have like a little cart behind them, you know, and they'd be to be running, I think, on tracks, as far as I know, coming up here. That was it.
Do you know what brought your dad back to the homestead then?
Well, there was no other one to come. He had another brother. He joined the Guards. He was in Dublin, and the other two went off to America. And then Sonny was in Kilkerran, and that was it. He came back anyway.
Can you take me back to what you remember about your father operating the forge here?
Oh, yes. Well, at that time, it was, you couldn't do anything without a fire, like that time. You'd have to light the fire first thing in the morning, get it going. Whatever come up after that then, whatever make, every month of the year brought a different kind of work. From once, like early on the year, you'd be fixing ploughs for people, harrows, spring toots or grubbers, whatever you like to call them. Later on, then say February and March, then you'd be very full-time shoeing horses because they'd be starting the spring work, you know. And later on, then, well, they'd be making schlains too, you know, for cutting turf, making spades as well. Yeah. And there'd be different other kind of things too. They'd be making lots of different things. But that's been kind of later on. Then they'll be fixing mowing machines for cutting the grass and that. That'll be another one. The next thing then they start bringing home the turf with the horses. You'll be full time shoeing horses because the roads are rough that time. They all have to be shod before they could go on the road with them. And to be always in the hot weather. Yeah. That was a tough job. You'd have the heat of the heart and the heat of the fire on the forge and the sun overhead, like you'd be inside the forge, all right. But the sweat a bit dropping down off you that day. Yeah. I think the last horses I shot, I think I got a couple of pounds for showing them, I think. I was about over 50 years shoeing horses, and once I shot the first until I wasn't able to show them. The current came round, and the electricity came round in 1955, and we had a welder. I was welding then from 1955 onwards. Yeah.
That must have changed things hugely, John, when the electricity came.
Yeah. There was no such a thing as a welder at all one time. Like, when they'd want to join two pieces of iron together, they'd have to weld them in the fire, like, you know, heat them and weld them in the fire. And that'd be how they do it. The same with an axle that come in a square bear for a cart or a sidecar or anything like that, to come in a square bear, and that have to heat it up and draw it out. There was things, swages they used to call them, that had the head on the anvil to draw them out until they get it to fit the box, and then have to put a hole in it in for the linspin, they used to call it, on the outside. That was it, yeah.
John Feeney's grandfather, the master blacksmith Michael Feeney, was known far and wide for his workmanship. Evidence of this still remains at the Jemison burial site at Winfield Domain, part of the old Jemison estate. The Jemisons were landlords over seven townlands in East Galway from 1820, with their main residence at Winfield Domain. James Francis Jemison died in 1896, the great-grandson of John Jemison, the founder of the Jemison Distillery in Bow Street, Dublin. James Francis Jemison's burial place is surrounded by a dry limestone wall with wrought iron railings and a wrought iron gate entrance, met by none other than Michael Feeney.
That railing now that you were talking about that was put around, what do you call them?
Jemisons,
yeah. Yeah. All the holes in that railing now was punched out with a sledge and a punch. Like, there was no such thing as a drill like that time. Yeah, I was looking ahead there, you could see that they were punched out with a punch, like, you know. How I happened to be up there, there was a few bears missing. I went up to have a look ahead. I was down to Martin Collins and he arranged it, and I went. And he said, there's a few bears missing after. He said, would you be able to do anything about it? And I said, I will, of course. I said, I'll do it. So I went up and we'd done it for a minute. I've turned them before I went up, like, you know, I went up, didn't we? We fitted them in for him. Yeah. He's a nice man, that Jimmy Laffey. So he is. Lovely man.
When your father was running the forge, John, I suppose the horse would have been the tractor of the farm that time. Crucial. He was very busy.
There was no tractors at that time. In the 50s, there was very, very few tractors. Yeah. Was there any tractor at all with a lift in at that time? Do you know, there'd be a tractor that would pull a trailer plough, all right, you know. That'd be it.
How far around did people come to your father in the forge?
Well, when I started shoeing horses, they came for miles and miles, because as it happened, when I came to be able to shoe horses, say, in 1955 and 6 and that way, Michael Ryan, that forge you're talking about, no, he died. The son used to do a little bit. And
that's just up the road from your house?
That's, yeah, up there. There was another blacksmith down here in Ahen. Ahen is down there towards Lennemeddy. He packed up altogether. He was old anyway. He knocked the forge in case anyone had been coming to him. Mark Ryder over here the other side, and towards Hume here, he went off to England. And Brandon over here in Kilcairn, another blacksmith, he packed up as well. He was old, like, he packed up. He had to. That was it now. So they used to come from an awful big circle now to me. It was that time now. That's the reason we used to be so busy showing horses that time.
Well, you must have been doing something right, John, if they were coming that distance.
Well, I don't know about right. We'd be doing the best we could with them anyway. But You wouldn't make too much money at the job, and you'd have, all you'd have is hard work. It was the hardest time, which was in the summertime when they'd be drawing the turf, the heat and the heat of the horse and the heat of the fire and the heat of the sun as well, because the summers used to be warmer at that time than now.
I'd imagine you were dealing with a lot of temperaments in that forge that time.
But the most of the people, they were pretty nice. You'd have no hassle with them as a rule. No.
Did you have any injuries or any incidents in the forge that were difficult?
Well, I got a hurt to a horse one time, yeah. My ribs fractured or broke. I don't know what happened to him, but he took the breath of me anyway. And I was kind of young enough at the time. But anyways, I got hurt with him anyway, and I was out for a few days.
What used you have in mind when you were shoeing horses? Was there anything in particular that you liked to do as part of that?
I'd never hit them. I might shout them, but I'd never hit them. And I was over 50 years old, and I don't think I ever hit a horse. Yeah. But you're always better to try and coax them along, you know. But a race, you wouldn't, when you were young, you wouldn't take any notice of them, and if they were jumping and rearing and that, you wouldn't take any notice of them when you shoved them. I often saw them, they leaving their head above it this evening at the forwards, like, you know, in springtime, like now, do you know, young horses that bring in fillies and that, do you know, they'd be only a year and a bit old. And they've been never housed or never handled or anything. Should they be made, but they came down after a bit, so they would. You'd manage them.
And in terms of the other work, then I suppose you'd be fixing machinery for the local farmers as well.
In the, what do you call it, early in the year, you'd be fixing ploughs and harrows and scufflers. You'd be making ploughs too. You'd buy the body and you'd put the beam on it and the handles and paint it when you'd ever done. I don't know how much you get for the time. I forget.
Was it difficult to make a living, John?
Well, indeed it was, yeah. I'm sure the people at that time, they wouldn't be too well off anyways. There was no such thing as dole or anything that time or anything like that, you know. If they had enough to eat, they'd be happy enough that time. I think they're happier that time than they're now. Yeah, my honest opinion about it.
One person I spoke to, they remembered that it wasn't always money that changed hands, maybe for someone that had a job to be done, that things could be worked out in other ways too.
Yeah, that'd be right, yes. They might give you a day or something, or do something for you, you know.
When you were in the forge, were you a man that kind of kept with the times in terms of the tools that you could be using? Did you find yourself modernising down through the years a bit?
A bit, yeah. We got a welder and we got electric drills and we had a guillotine for cutting iron, you know.
But somebody told me now you never really retired, that you still go down to the forge in odd time.
I might go down, that's about it. You go down, all right. As for working now, that's gone by the wayside. I'm near enough to it anyway.
And did you kind of wind up the forge that you found it getting less busy, or was it just you were coming to an age?
I used to like shoeing the horses when I was at them. Like I liked that job, to be honest about it. Yeah, and you'd be very full time shoeing horses that time, you know. Now, very few race horses, they'd be all old working agricultural horses like I'd be shoeing. I did shoe a few race horses. Just a few. That's Simon Mullen up there. He had a race horse one time. I was showing for him. Simon there in Spring Lawn.
You don't seem to have had any fear, though, when you were dealing with the horses.
No, you wouldn't. If you were afraid, you would have lashed. Yeah. I know you wouldn't want to be afraid at all. No, there is a rule that ease down, you know. Yeah, but if you weren't belting them or hitting them, you'd make them worse. Oh, yeah. I never seen it to be any good anyway.
Can you take me back to when you were operating in the forge, John? Just the sights and the sounds. Was it quite dark and quite hot conditions to be working in, difficult?
Yeah, well, of course, the time I started kind of working in the forge, you see, the ESB had come and they would have lights in the forge, you know. You showed the best you could with what you had, and that's all about it. nearly everything was done by hand at that time. There was no other machinery much, like, sure, when we got a letter to the rail, we thought it was a mighty oak, and sander, like, or an anger grinder for cutting, we thought it was great as well. A guillotine for cutting as well, sure. We thought they were outstanding, but sure. After a bit, they were on the left one side, and there'd be other things to take their place. They're more modern now altogether. Mm.
But when you think that you were so grateful to get those kind of changes, imagine what it must have been like for your grandfather.
Oh, yes, right, yeah. Well, he had nothing on just the hammer. So there were tough times. They were, like, you know, it was hard work, but you wouldn't take a nurse would when you'd be at it, like, yeah. Mm.
Can I ask you, John, what kind of interest your own children took in your trade?
Oh, they're mighty. We have two lads, we have Damien and Liam. Liam is in America. And Damien is just works down there on the forge now. He's bewildered and all that. But he do a little bit in the fire, but not a lot. Liam would do a bit in as well now. But Liam is going to America. It is his job now. Hmm. Father Joe done a bit in the forge too.
That's your brother?
Yeah, the man there. He done a little bit down the forge as well, yeah.
Were you mindful when the kids were small about trying to get them interested in it?
No, I don't know. They were there. They used to be there, but yeah. I'm sure there wasn't that much future in it anyways. That time, I don't know if they're actually...
But Damien took on a lot of the skills, I'm sure, that you showed him, because he's diversified into using the forge for other means.
Well, he's there in the forge, all right. Yeah, he'd light the fire now and again, and that carry on. That'd be it. To never come back to the old ways again, like, anyway. That's gone with the wayside. Hmm. You won't get no old blacksmith at all. Now you get blacksmiths, like, but they're. Should they're doing it with machinery or, you know, implements or something like that. You'll get no one that'll do it by hand, like, at all. They used to run courses there in Foss one time. I don't know the hell they called it off. I used to do courses for Foss there one time, yeah, years ago. I didn't do any for a long time anyway. It was a pity, like, in one way.
And you mentioned a lot of work that you did for local farmers. Was making gates and fixing gates a big part of your time there as well?
My grandfather used to make enough of gates, and Daddy used as well. I made gates as well, bits of rail and all that carry on. We put gates in the windows there in the forge in Mount Bridges. It was me that made them. I don't know, maybe you didn't see them at all.
I did see them.
Oh,
I didn't
did you?
Know you made them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we made the hinges for the door as well when we were up there as well.
Was that a very time-consuming job now, making gates and those kind of pieces, compared to, you know, the shoeing of the horses and the more manual work?
Yeah, well, no, they don't make gates. They bide the pieces now and they just put them together, like, you know, they look a lot better, like, probably all right. I felt if you couldn't make the path for it, I wouldn't go buying them, like. I'd make them, and that'd be it.
Hmm. It sounds, John, like you took a lot of pride in your work.
You would. I liked the horse shoeing. That's the most job I was in. The welding was all right too. All that the fire was all right. Now with my eye, I'm not as good. I can't see right or anything. I have only middling sight and the other eye as well. So them days are gone, I think, now.
Do you miss it?
You would, yes, because the time is awful long when you're used to working at 8 o'clock, like, you feel that, yeah. And you can't knock about, like, the same as before this whole thing, this old COVID came in, you can't knock about the same as one time. You could go racing, you could go to a car plane, you could go different places, like, you know. You could go into a mast if you wanted to pass an hour to have a look around. That'd be it now. There's none of that now. It's all home now, so it is.
Hmm. Thinking back to when you were in the forge, John, I'm sure there was a lot of crack and a lot of stories told in there.
Yeah, there was, I'm sure and certain. Someone had always come up with something funny anyway. There'd be no way shy at all in that line.
But it must have been a big meeting place for people.
Oh, yeah, wet day, yes. A lot of people are gathering, all right, yes. Mm. That man that you were talking about, that other blacksmith you were talking about there, he lived out there around towards Minley, what's this you call him at all? Lahain. I knew that man, yeah. Dole man, Dole blacksmith. Not that
Jimmy.
Jimmy was the father. Was Jimmy the father?
Jimmy, yeah.
Yeah. Jimmy was with me the time we were there in Mountbelly at the show the day Mary Robinson came. Yeah, it was Mary Robinson, it was, yeah. Do you remember, it was 100 years or something like that, I think. Yeah. We set up the old forge above in the grounds there from that day. He was there long ago.